Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
The poet writes, "There's an ancient legend from the other side of the world that gives away the secret of this mysterious sorrow. For centuries and centuries, we have been wandering, but we were made for paradise as deer for the forest." We know the story well enough by now, don't we? 2 days after Jesus, their teacher, their friend, their brother had been killed, the women closest to him went to prepare his body, and they found the stone at the tomb had been rolled away. Matthew's gospel says there were tremors of an earthquake, and the tomb is empty. What do they make of it? Where do they go from here? An angel disappears and tells them he is risen. And they must have doubted it. They must have been completely perplexed. How could this possibly be? But inside their hearts that had prepared for a solemn, heavy task, the bubble of excitement, of joy, dared to enter. A little flutter, but there it was. And when they go to tell the others, as the angel has commanded, Jesus meets them on the road, blocking their path, asking them not to be afraid, telling them to carry on, to tell the others that he will meet them in Galilee. And by the end of that encounter, where they feel his feet and they know that this is no ghost, but the real Jesus they knew in his life on earth, that joy carries the same palpitations as fear, the trembling kind of joy that could just about burst anyone's heart. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Here we all are, feeling in so many ways, and each in our own way, the challenge of a time that feels very dark in our world. Could it get worse? Will it get better? Dare we to hope? We often think about the resurrection, this bizarre and breathtaking story that's been debated and unpacked and repacked for centuries in churches and seminaries and Bible studies. We often think about the resurrection as a proposition we have to decide about believing. Then once we have decided, we stay in a camp for good. Are you for or against? Believer or skeptic? Rational or a little Looney Tunes? Scholars Rebecca Parker and Rita Nakashima Brock remind us that the early Christian church didn't emphasize crucifixion and resurrection at all. They focused on the celebration of the promise of paradise, the garden of luxurious, abundant creation that belongs to all beings. Paradise not as a destination in the life to come, but around us and among us and within us right now. The disciples in the Jesus stories are not sure when they encounter their friend whom they loved so deeply. But in their moments of deepest grief, blaming themselves, regretting things done or not done, cursing the authorities who persecuted Jesus, perhaps even plotting a little revenge, in those moments, they were able to see a glimpse of hope, to let it into their hearts, to let it lighten their loads, to imagine that they might be messengers of a hope greater than the fear and the anger and the loss that weighed so heavily on them. In the words of Wendell Berry, Grief gives us the full measure of love, and it is somehow reassuring to learn, even by suffering, how large and powerful love is. The power of that love, the essence of life itself that's born in each of us, found a way to be rekindled in Jesus' followers. Even in their darkest hour, even when they felt furthest from home. The story of the crucifixion in light of the promise of paradise is a cautionary tale about how badly we humans can get it wrong, crucifying love that has come to life among us. And the Easter story tells us we can always let that love back in, tune ourselves to its power and beauty, and begin again. Resurrection, my friends, is not a fact. It is also not a myth. For us, as religious liberals, it's a choice. It's a decision to lean into the possibility of life and the bounty of love. It's not something just for long ago and far away. It happens in ways big and small right here and now. Last Wednesday, as one of our most devoted church caretakers, Queen Cheryl, was polishing the floors in the Honeywell Chapel, she became very aware of the presence of our beloved art judge who passed away 2 days before. The two of them had spent good time together in that chapel, meditating and discussing books on Buddhism. And on Wednesday, Cheryl felt Art fully with her, walking with an ease he had not had in some time in this life, a witness and a companion to her in her labors. She knew him right away, didn't mistake him for the gardener. She bid him welcome, and that accompaniment brought her peace to hold her grief. Maybe this week you read the story of Amy Downs, who was working as a bank teller in the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City when it was bombed 30 years ago. Buried upside down in the rubble for more than 6 hours, she survived only to realize that her best friend and nearly half of her coworkers had died that day. As her body recovered from her serious injuries, she found new purpose in living in light of her loss. She's now the CEO of the credit union where she was a teller on that fateful day. And for her 50th birthday, she completed an Ironman triathlon. Resurrection, big or small, utterly miraculous, or very integrated into our daily lives, is an acknowledgement that we are part of something larger than our own egos and our own neuroses. Deep in our grief and sorrow, we can look up and out and say, "This is bigger than I can manage, but I will manage if I can let my pain be held by some great mystery, a bigger story that says life and love are stronger than death." Resurrection is the faith that inside each of us is a place that's tuned to answer the universal call to praise, to thanksgiving, and that also inside of each of us, worlds are born that can do and be more than we could ever imagine. Easter is a moment to announce that we are in attendance, present and accounted for by our willingness to feel ourselves part of the wholeness in that promise of paradise, to dare to claim each one of us is essential to the journey and to the arrival, to preparing the place for thriving, abundance, new life. It connects us to everyone in history who has had the nerve to sing a song of praise in the midst of a broken, messy, tragic world. And everyone in history who's had the courage to speak a good word where fear and despair trouble the land. So let's share our alleluias this morning in solidarity with all who are struggling, as a commitment to be with those who work for justice, as a prayer for the paradise we are made for and can make real. Let love win again and again and again. Amen. And alleluia. And I offer you this blessing of hope from Jan Richardson. So may we know that hope is not just for someday, but for this day, here, now, in this moment that opens to us. Hope not made of wishes, but of substance. Hope made of sinew, of muscle and bone. Hope that has breath and a beating heart. Hope that will not keep quiet and be polite. Hope that knows how to holler when it's called for. Hope that knows how to sing when there seems little cause. Hope that raises us from the dead, not someday, but this day, every day, again and again and again. Let us carry that hope with us wherever we go. The service begins when the service ends. Amen.
ASCBoston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.